Amen. Praise the Lord for the words of that song. And no doubt, if you found this place, you found that place to be the place where your broken heart has been mended and the Lord has restored you. And may we be that place for other people as well. And what a great encouragement to the church this morning. I'd invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 19 this morning. Exodus chapter 19. And we'll be reading verses 3 down through verse 6 in just a moment. And I do want to thank the pastor for the opportunity to stand before you and preach this morning, and I'm excited about the passage the Lord has given to me. I believe this is a message that He would have for our congregation this morning as we set just a few moments aside to look into His Word, Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 to 6. And once you've found your place in your Bible, if you're able to and would be able to stand this morning, out of respect to the Lord's Word, we'll be reading verses 3 down through verse 6, Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 down through verse 6 this morning. The Bible says in verse 3, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "The Never-Ending Power of God." The Never-Ending Power of God. Let's have a word of prayer, and then when we're finished praying, you'd be seated. Lord, we are so thankful for your goodness to us, and we're thankful for a place in which we can gather, Lord, and hear from your word, hear the music that we've heard this morning and how it's ministered to our hearts. And Lord, a place that we can sense your presence, Lord, meeting with us in the midst, in a place in which we can open a Bible and look to the message that you've given to us this morning. Lord, I pray that just for the next few moments, we'd set aside every other thought that we have in our minds, Lord, the busyness of this time of year and even this week. And I pray that you'd help us to focus on the message that you would have for us this morning, on the never-ending power of God, Lord. We love you. We thank you for all these things. I pray that you'd give us a good morning in your house. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. And you can be seated. You know, history is a great reminder, is it not? One of the blessings of being able to look back on the past is be able to see some things that we've come through and even learn some lessons. And one of the neat things about even the history that we teach in our schools is we're able to look back on the founding of this nation and maybe see some things that as a nation, how God brought us through some things and learn some lessons from the past. And as I look at each and every one of us in this congregation this morning, our memories would, if we would recall the past, we all have history ourselves, don't we? Maybe we look back on the past and we look at some things in the past where maybe there were some mistakes we've made. And hopefully we've learned from those things. But I also would imagine that most of us in here this morning, as we look back on the past, would also see some very good memories, some good times, some things in the past that you look at and you say, the Lord blessed me in this situation, and what a blessing to be able to recall that history. My mother, back in Cleveland there, she has always made it a point to keep pictures around. In fact, if you would go into her house today, you would walk through her house, and sometimes it looks like a museum of, she's got these old photos of these people throughout the house, and I don't know who they are. She tells me that I'm related to them. I'm not sure. They may be just people she found in a magazine somewhere, old photos. I don't know. I've never seen them before. She says, this is so-and-so. This is your cousin. This is your great-great-grandpa or something like that. And she has all these pictures everywhere. But one of the things that's neat as we go to her house is she, as we were growing up, she kept pictures. And we would look through those picture albums regularly. And even now, as I take my kids there, we are able to sit down and open the photo album and show them some embarrassing pictures of their uncles and their dad and those kind of things, you know? Like, what were you thinking when you wore that or when you did your hair that way? I can't believe it, you know? And we look back on the past and listen, those pictures bring back fond memories for me. I think about family vacations and holiday times, Christmas and different things like that, and just good memories as we look back on the past in those history. And you know, as history serves as a great reminder of the past, pictures as well serve as a great reminder of the past. And as we look here in this text, God gives us a word picture of how He worked in the life of the children of Israel. God calls Moses up to the mount there in Mount Sinai in verse 3, and the Bible says, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." And then in verse 6, as he finishes this thought, he says, "These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And God has a message that he wants to give Moses to give to the children of Israel, something he wants to present to them. And so he calls Moses up onto the mountain. He begins to paint a picture, if you will, in Moses' mind with words. And he says, "I want you to give this message to the children of Israel." And as we look at this here in the year of 2013, we realize that God has recorded this message in his word, and therefore has been recorded for all of eternity. And so, while this message was originally intended for the children of Israel, there's no doubt that we can gain some understanding, and we can learn from this message that God would have Moses give to the children of Israel. And I want to highlight just two things out of this message this morning that I think we can learn from and make application from. And the first thing is this: Moses, help them to recall the past. Help them to recall the past. The work that I've already done in the children of Israel's lives. We see there in verse 3, he says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." We would understand the, and if you read this passage, verse 1 actually explains that this is now 3 months removed from the Exodus out of Egypt. And you would look at the study of the children of Israel, we understand and know that they were there in Egypt for several hundred years. They were there in bondage and enslaved in the Egyptian bondage, and it was a very difficult time for them. And then God miraculously brought them out, and there at the time of this writing of this passage, the history that we're studying here is about 3 months removed from that exodus out of Egypt. And for some 400 years, they had been enslaved there in Egypt. The Bible describes their time there like this: "Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens." Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." We understand, we would study the history of the children of Israel there in their time of Egypt and realize how incredibly difficult the circumstances there and their Egyptian bondage and their slavery there, and how the Bible describes their taskmasters as those that would be very cruel, and their bonds and their afflictions that were daily laid upon them, and how their sorrows came and they cried out to the Lord. And praise the Lord in His timing. And God raised up a deliverer through the man Moses. And we know that God used the man Moses, but it was no doubt it was God who delivered them out of their bondage and their affliction. And in the time of their greatest need, as God looked upon them and saw their sorrows, He came in and He brought them out. And we would see that He would describe this here in this word picture: "You've seen how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." And no doubt, as God is looking at the children of Israel now, He's just delivered them out of Egypt. And He pulls Moses aside, and no doubt, here's the thought: "Moses, I'm getting ready to do something special with the children of Israel. I'm getting ready to do some great things in their life. But Moses, before I can do great things in their lives, I want you to remind them about what I've already done in their lives. Should go back and see what I've already done, how I've delivered them, how I came down as though the Bible describes as an eagle coming in there." And God paints this word picture for Moses, and an eagle takes these children of Israel literally and puts them on his shoulders and carries them out. Should think about that this morning as he described it to Moses. The connotation there of coming down to them in their low estate and lifting them out of there and bringing them unto Jesus. What a blessing that is for us to understand this morning. And in the children of Israel, in going forward, it would be wise for them to remember the past. In what God was about to accomplish for their lives. Listen, first of all, it would be wise for them to remember and recall the past, how God had already worked mightily in their lives. Because in remembering the past, listen, they would be reminded of the power of God that had saved them out of their bondage. They'd be reminded of exactly what God had done. If they would just focus on the power of God there in saving them from their bondage, they would be reminded, if God did that there, guess what? God can do it again. And God can do it again. God's instruction to Moses, recall the past. Remember what I've brought you from. Remember where you were in the midst of Egyptian bondage and your sorrows, and remember how I miraculously, and everyone, listen, would describe that as a miracle because the Egyptians weren't going to let the children of Israel go, and how that miracle of God came and delivered them out of there. Recall the past. And the truth is this morning, if you're saved here today, you would be wise to go back and remember the past and remember the work of God that He's already done in your life. Do you remember, and I want to ask you this question, do you remember where you were when God saved you? Listen, I'm not speaking of the physical location. I'm speaking of the spiritual place in your heart. Do you remember where you were in the midst of your suffering there, in the midst of your sorrow, enslaved in the bondage and the slavery of sin? Do you remember that day when you came to possibly an old-fashioned altar, or someone showed up on your doorstep and they knocked on your door and said, listen, I can take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Do you remember where you were at that time? As a Christian, we would describe that time now, as we look back, we would describe that time as a time where we had no peace, where we had no joy. There was no contentment, no doubt living a life of sorrow, trying to find happiness in this situation and trying to find happiness in that situation. But listen, when we got saved, all that changed. And the peace and the happiness and the joy and the contentment came into our life. And what a blessing, because possibly there's someone that maybe has gathered here with us this morning. Say, Brother Andy, you've just described how I feel like my life is right now. Not a lot of peace and not a lot of joy, not a lot of contentment. In fact, maybe you've tried to pray to God before and you say, I just don't feel like I'm getting through. And the great blessing for you here today is if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He stands with open arms, and the Bible says He longs to accept you, and you can leave this place this morning knowing the peace and joy and contentment that everyone else in this place knows, because you'll know that you'll have an eternal home in heaven. But for us as Christians, we'd be wise to remember or to recall the past and what God's done in our lives and how when He saved you, all that changed. I love the words of David as he speaks of his own time in which he believed and looked to God. In Psalms chapter 40 and verse 2, he says this. He says, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And what a picture for us to understand that God did the same thing with us. He brought us up out of that horrible pit in a time in which we had nothing going on in our lives. And He set our feet upon the rock, that rock Jesus Christ, and He established our goings as we go forward in this life, looking to Him. And if you're saved this morning, that's your testimony. That's what God's done for you. If you've been truly saved, you can describe that day as God described the Israelites' deliverance from their bondage. How I bear you on eagle's wings. How God did that. How I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto Myself. And God says, Moses, I want to give you this message to give to the children of Israel. Why did God want the children of Israel to remember the past? Because He wanted them to remember the power of God in saving them. Because the power of God, listen, I want you to get this thought this morning. The power of God that saved you is the same power that's available to you every day of your life if you'll simply look to Him. Listen, that power is not gone anywhere. It's the same power that's available to each and every one of us on a daily basis if we'll simply look to Him. Moses, I'm getting ready to do something special with the children of Israel. I've got great plans for them in their life. But first of all, I want you to give them a message. Recall the past. Find out what I've already done in their life. Remember what I've already done for their life. And then the second part of that message, not only recall the past, but secondly, then receive the promise. Receive the promise. Look back in verses 5 and 6. He says there, Now therefore, if ye will obey My voice indeed, and keep My covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto Me above all people, for all the earth is Mine. The power of God. He says, if you'll just look to Me, all the earth, I already own it all. I can bless you and I can be a blessing to you. Verse 6, He says, and ye shall be unto Me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Listen, Moses, give them this message. Not only recall the past, but tell them to receive the promise that I've already given to them. Again, if you study the history of the children of Israel, you'd look back to Abraham and you'd see God giving His covenant promise to Abraham, how He would make of him a great nation. And God had great plans, and yet you would look here in this scripture. Listen, God had a purpose in all this. God longed to take them into the promised land. His purpose in that was that other people would see the children of Israel. And they'd look at them and they'd say, there's something different about them. They don't serve these false idols that we serve. They don't do this thing. They serve Jehovah, God. And He provides for them and He protects for them. Listen, God's purpose in preserving the children of Israel, first of all, was to take them into the promised land so that they would be a witness to who the true God was. But the second thing was that He would establish a mighty nation in which His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, could come through that line and be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, so that all mankind would have an opportunity to be saved. And that was God's purpose in doing that. And He says, listen, if you'll look to Me and obey My voice, I'll do these things. I'll keep this promise. You just need to receive it and look to Me. And yet, sadly, again, if you'd study their history, you'd see that they did not come out of Egypt and directly go into the promised land. In fact, for 40 years, they were not focusing on God. They were focusing on every other thing around them. And listen, they're wandering in the wilderness. And might I just add, listen, what a poor picture of the available power of God in their life. As other nations would look at them and say, I see the power of God in bringing them out of Egypt. But what's happened to that power? Listen, it was not for lack of power on God's part. It's because they were not receiving the promise that God had given to them. They were not looking to God. But no doubt, what a blessing when you would see that they turned their focus on God. And God did keep His promise as they received that promise and they followed God into the promised land. And I love reading books like the book of Joshua, how when they looked to God and Joshua said things like this, speaking of the walls of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 16, Joshua saith unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And what a blessing it is to go back and study and watch those children of Israel as for 6 days they walked around those walls of Jericho. And then on the seventh day they walked around seven times, and on the seventh time those walls began to crumble. And God fought for them, and they went in and they went through the city of Jericho on their way into the promised land. And what a blessing it is to see that God did establish them as they looked to Him. And God did keep His promise with them as they looked to Him. And they did receive that promise as they looked to Him. And God did establish them. And God did fight for them. And God went before them. And God did do some great things through that nation of Israel, like He said He was. And this morning, I want you and I to understand, as Christians today, that this same principle and this same promise is available to us as Christians. This same thought, the fact that God has already redeemed us, He's brought us out of our bondage. And listen, if we'll simply look to Him and we'll receive the promise that He will work, and His power will be available through our lives as we go through our lives. And if you're saved today, listen, you've experienced that power of God at salvation. You remember where you were when you got saved and how God powerfully worked in your life and how He did great things and brought you unto Himself. And yet I want you to understand that power doesn't just stop at salvation. That power wasn't just here at the old-fashioned altar where you knelt and received Christ as your Savior. No, that power is available to you every day of your life. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The Bible does not change. The promises of God's Word do not change. And certainly God's power does not change. Listen, just like He described to Moses, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto Myself. Listen, we've experienced the power of God in that particular place in our lives. And then we think about the idea of how our salvation doesn't, the power of God doesn't begin and end with salvation. We can have the power of God on our lives throughout our lives if we'll simply look to Him. And listen, for the Christian this morning, victorious Christian living is our promise. Victorious Christian living is our promise, and it should characterize our life as Christians. I think of the passage in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 as Jesus is speaking to the apostles there just before His ascension into heaven, and He says this, He says, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Praise the Lord. Listen, God's purpose in establishing us and giving us His power through our lives is for the same purpose that He longed to establish the nation of Israel. So that other people would look at us and they would see there's something different about that person. There's something different about the God that they serve and the way they live their lives. And people would see our lives and glorify our Father, come to know Him. And God says, I want to give you that power. I want to be able to help you to live your life that way so that you can receive that power and that you can be a witness to Me. I want you to turn over to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, if you would, this morning. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, because another passage in the New Testament that gives us this principle. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says there, being confident of this very thing, listen, church, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the truth is, many times, here's what happens. We get saved and we understand the power of God at salvation. And then after salvation, we begin to live our lives and possibly even live our lives to ourselves and forget about the available power of God that's available to us every day of our life. And what God started at salvation won't be finished until we receive that glorified body up in heaven. And he longs to work through our life in each and every situation and on a daily basis. I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, another principle that we see regarding the power of God in our lives. The Bible says there in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Listen, God says, if you'll simply look to me, listen, if you'll just ask me and you'll look to me, guess what? I can do exceeding abundantly, even all above more than all that you ask or think. And that's the power that's available to the Christian. In Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And God says, I have so much power available for you. You've seen what I did at salvation. You can recall the past and see my working in your life. And now receive the promise that I want to work that same way in your life on a daily basis. I want to give you the power to be able to live this life as a victorious Christian. And listen, God longs to do that. And God won't stop working in our lives. But listen, as Christians, we can limit His work and we can limit His power in the way that we live our lives. Just like the children of Israel limited His power and limited His work in the way they lived their lives. The promise for the Israelites was the promised land. That's what God longed to do with them. Bring them out of Egypt. Listen, not just to wander in the wilderness, but take them to the promised land. That was their promise. It pictured victorious Christian living. A picture of living inside God's will for our lives. That's what the picture of the children of Israel going into the promised land is for us. And we see that was their promise. And listen, God had already promised it to them. God, they could look back on their own history and see how God had made that covenant. And if they'd simply look to Him, God would do that. And they could look back and see that over and over again. And listen, instead of focusing on God's promise, the children of Israel began to focus on the things that were right in front of them. They began to focus on the things that they could see with their eyes, and they began to say things like this: we're here in the wilderness. I don't understand how God's even going to provide food for us. I don't even understand how God's going to provide for us in this situation. And God was already providing for them. Listen, they never went hungry. God provided manna for them, and then they said, well, we'll die if this is all we're going to eat is manna. We have to have meat. You remember back when we were in Egypt, we at least had meat there in Egypt, and guess what? God provided for them again. And then when it was time to go into the promised land the first time, they looked and they said, there's giants in that land. We can't defeat these giants. They were letting what they could see cloud and affect that which they could not see, the power of God. And they were looking at these giants, and then they're looking at these cities with these great walls around them and these defense fortresses, and they're saying, we can't do it. We simply can't go into it. And yet I'd already ask you this question. Listen, did God not already promise them that He'd give them the land? Did He not tell them that He would go in before them and fight for them? Did He not tell them, if you'll look to me, I'll provide for you and I'll protect for you? Yeah, He did, over and over and over again. And all they had to do was follow Him. All they had to do was look to Him. Listen, they could recall the past. And now all they had to do is receive the promise. Just simply look to God as God would provide for them as they went in the land. And yet they allowed only what they could see with their eyes cloud that which they could not see. They allowed their sight to replace their faith in a powerful God. They forgot about what God did in Egypt. They forgot about how He had intervened for them time after time. And they forgot about the promises of God. And yet I find as Christians that along life's way, we experience similar, do we not? We begin to look at all the things that surround us. And listen, we're familiar with what God's done with us in the past. We're familiar with the work of God in our lives. We've read the Bible and we see the available power to us. And we see the sufferings of our Savior as He came to this earth and He died on a cross for our sins. But then He arose victorious. And we know the story. But we allow the trial that sits right in front of us to cloud our faith. We allow the problem that we're experiencing now, possibly the mountain that sits in front of us. And listen, as we know what the Bible says, and we know what God's already done in our lives, we begin to say things like this. Well, surely, I've seen what God's done for other people. I've seen the testimonies in other people's lives, but I don't think God can do it in this situation. You may come here today and you say, Brother Andy, I understand what you're saying, but you don't know what I'm going through. And you're right, I don't know what you're going through. But the Lord does. And listen, we may say, God, there's this mountain standing in my way. And listen, I see how you've worked in my life in the past, but God, I don't even think you can change this one. And listen, we may not say those things with our mouth, but the way we live our lives and the way we interact with that trial shows about how little faith in our God that we do have. As we look here in the Scriptures, listen, we see that God says, listen, recall the past. Look at what I've already done for you. And I already asked you this question this morning. You remember where your life was before you got saved? And you remember the power of God that it took to take you from a place of being an unsaved person, the absolute miracle of God in your life that it took you to, and how, as God describes it, there is an eagle coming down, putting us on His shoulders and bringing us up unto Himself, and how He brought us out of that horrible pit, how He established a new song in our mouth, how old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Do you remember the power of God in that situation? And I ask you, if you do, that was the full display of the power of God in your life. And He longs to do that again today. He's the same God that delivered the Israelites out of their bondage. Listen, He is the same God today that parted the Red Sea so the Israelites could walk across that Red Sea. He is the same God that shut the lion's mouth there in the book of Daniel. The same God that delivered the three Hebrew boys from the fiery furnace. He is the same God that arrested the Apostle Paul before when he was Saul on the way to Damascus on his way to kill Christians and saw him gloriously saved. And He's certainly the same God that one of these days is going to take us to live forever in a home in heaven. And listen, if that power was available to us at salvation, that power hasn't gone anywhere. That power is still there. And God has not lost any of that power. Listen, if anything, the problem is you and I. I love the words in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. If you'll turn over there. The Apostle Paul speaking here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Speaking of even the present circumstances that we find ourselves in. The trials that we find in this life. He says in verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He says, listen, the power of your God that saved you is the same power of God that's going to take you to heaven one of these days. And yet the midst of the trials and the circumstances that you find yourself in, the power of God, first of all, is greater than those things. Amen. But one of these days we'll be standing in heaven and no doubt look back even in the trials that we experience in this life. And once we've received that glorified body, we'll look back and we'll say, that mountain that I thought was so big, really not that big. And that trial that I thought was so cruel to me in my life, because of the power of God, really not that big. Really not that much of a problem. And all those things will come into perspective one of these days. Listen, Moses, children of Israel, I want to establish them a nation. I want to do some great things in their life. But first of all, they need to recall what I've already done in their life. They need to remember how I worked so miraculously on their behalf. And how that was my power on full display. And listen, if they'll just look to me, they can receive that power every day of their life. Every day of their life. And yet I find the problem isn't the lack of God's power. It's me. Not looking to Him. Or maybe looking to Him, but not with eyes full of faith, realizing all that God can do in my life. Listen, as a Christian, I'm commanded to walk by faith and not by sight. Commanded, as I go through this life, not to walk, as a Christian, walk by the things that I see, but walk by the faith that I have in God. Can we just understand this morning that my God's a whole lot more powerful than the things I can see? A whole lot more powerful than the mountain that is standing in my way. Listen, and sometimes we get overwhelmed in this life, don't we? We're all in that situation from time to time. Just trying to live. just trying to make it through another day, just trying to just barely drag ourselves, and possibly someone this morning, just drag yourself into church this morning because you knew this is the place you needed to be, but your body was weary from something that you've been dealing with, a trial, a tribulation. And God says, listen, if you'll simply look to me and remember what I've already done for you, remember that that mountain, while it seems very large right now in your path, remember that your God is greater. That your God is more powerful than that mountain standing in your way. Remember how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Remember how I did that at salvation. Listen, in this situation that you're dealing with right here, that's what I want to do again. I bear you on eagle's wings and bring you unto myself. We're there in Romans chapter 8. I want to just conclude with just a few verses here. The Bible says in verse 24, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" Apostle Paul tells us here in this passage, he says, listen, your faith will give you a hope. You're saved by hope. In other words, understanding, listen, when you knelt at an altar, or you knelt and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, He immediately gave you the hope of heaven. He says, you're saved by that hope. Faith in God is a hope in heaven. He says, but hope that is seen is not really hope. For the Christian today, we're here on this earth. Listen, we are not living in heaven. We're not standing before God in heaven. And so therefore, if we were standing before God in heaven right now, if this was heaven, there would be no reason to have a hope. We'd already have received that promise. But then look what he says in verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, if we have that hope, if we look to a Bible and the words of a God that cannot lie and realize what He's already done for us at salvation and how He's working on a daily basis through our lives, and one of these days He's going to take us to heaven where that hope will become sight. That hope will be manifest in our eyes. He says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Do we with patience wait for it? Think about that this morning. We realize all that God is going to do in our lives. If you're a Christian here today, you have the promise of a home in heaven. That is a great hope that you can look to. As you go through this life, that is a great hope that you can look to. And when you have that hope, the trials and the tribulations that you go through in this life, realizing that one of these days I'll stand before God in heaven and I'll receive that, I can patiently go through them, waiting for God to work out His purpose in them. Drawing near to God in a heart of faith, realizing it's just temporary. The things I'm going through right now in this earth, they're just temporary. And listen, if we'll look to God, His available power to get through those things, to one of these days take us to that hope that we have in heaven. And again, when we get there, looking back on this life, realizing things I went through really not that much of a big deal in comparison to eternity in our home in heaven with God. Listen, if my salvation is real, if I've seen what God's done for me at salvation, why would I think any less of the power that's available to me today as I go through this life? And then we're reminded just a few verses later, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. Get this, to them that love God. That's those that are saved. Those that can recall the past and realize, listen, there was a time in which I looked to God to be my personal Savior. God says, listen, I promise to work things out together for good. First of all, for those that have recalled the past, them that love God. And then look what He says there, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Those that have received the promise, those that are living this life, looking to God. He says, listen, in every situation, I promise, no matter what you go through, if those things, two things are true in your life, if you're a child of God and you're looking to God, living this life how He'd have you to live, God says, I'll work on your behalf. I'll give you the power that you need to get through that. I'll work on you. And I'm reminded of just the truth that, listen, this morning as I got out of bed, God was there. And the power of God was there. And perhaps something will come in my life today that I didn't expect to see coming. And God's power is still there. And tomorrow morning, as the sun comes up tomorrow morning, guess what? For the Christian, God will still be there. And the power of God will still be there. And on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and every day for the rest of our lives. And we look back to this passage here. As God calls Moses up to the mount, and he says, "Listen, Moses, just brought you out of Egypt. I want to do something special in the lives of these people. These are my people. I want to take them into the promised land. I want to establish them there. I want to make them a great nation. I want to have a relationship with them. But if I'm going to do that, they need to realize what I've already done for them. The power, the way I've already worked in their life. And then they can realize, if I did that then, I can do that again." Yeah. And I'm reminded this morning, Christian, God looks at us and he says, "I want to do something with your life. I've saved you out of your bondage for a purpose. I've saved you out of a life of sin. I established your goings. I've set your feet upon a rock. I long to do something with your life. I want to make you a peculiar people, a people that someone will look to and say, there's something different about that person. There's something different about the God that they serve. I want to have a relationship with you. But first, you need to look back and remember what I've already done for you. Recall the power of God on display in your life at salvation. And then when you're there, then you can receive the promise of the daily power of God in your life. A God that'll go before you and a God that'll fight for you." May we be reminded this morning of the never-ending power of God in our lives. Never-ending power of God. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Appreciate so much the way that you've listened today. I believe this is the message that God would have for us. And as we sit here this morning, listen, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you've endured. Possibly even during the week, some things that you've gone through. But God knows. And God had a message for you today from his word. It says, "Christian, remember me. Remember what I've already done for you. And realize what I long to do in your life on a daily basis." Maybe there's someone in here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. There is no better opportunity to receive the power of God in your life, first at salvation, but then the power to live this life in this place, in God's house. And here in just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation, give you an opportunity to come forward and respond to the preaching of God's Word. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your goodness in our lives. Lord, we are so undeserving of your power, and yet you've given it to us so freely. Lord, I pray that you help us to recall that time in our lives, Lord, in which we were in the midst of our own bondage, in sin. And Lord, how you rescued us from that. How you bore us on eagle's wings and brought us unto you. Lord, I pray there's some people maybe this morning that don't know you as their Savior. I pray that today they'd find their way to this altar, Lord, where someone can take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. And Lord, I pray for those of us that are Christians today, Lord. Someone just maybe dealing with something in their life, realizing this morning, Lord, you do have the power for me to get through that. You do long to work in my life if I'll simply look to you and receive that promise. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen.